Gates.
Mystery.
Monsters.
Mayhem. A little D.
Yeah, get some deep D.
Gotta get that vitamin D.
Get a little bit of that yub nub on the side.
Yeah, I try to be friendly to people when I do go for a walk. I smile.
Okay.
You know, I
sure.
give them a nod.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's that whole sentence, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are walking dogs. I'm very excited to see the dogs.
You love the dogs.
I do. I will say hello, pupper.
Yeah.
Hello there, little guy. Hello there, little girl.
Yeah.
And
hello, little girl. Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm guessing people are just they just want to be cautious when they're out walking and they see me walking towards them, perhaps.
You with that mustache?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dressed like a cheap Hell's Angels knockoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's not a bad description. I like that.
No, thanks.
The cheap Hell's Angels knockoff.
Hex.
And I got the
Hex Darling.
The official Jeffrey Dahmer glasses that I wear.
Yeah. Oh, the official sanctioned. Fully sanctioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You've cultivated this new look that's
I like it.
It definitely tells people I don't really want to talk to you.
It is an extension of my mustache in that it's a filter, and the true people.
You gotta start looking out though, okay? Well, yeah, I mean, it filters the people out, right? Much like it can filter out liquids.
Yeah.
But you gotta look out, okay? Because people, men in particular, who grow facial hair, that will just become the main focal point of their entire personality.
Mm, yeah. Well, I got a new focal point that's gonna happen soon, and that is I have been looking up cowboy hats.
Okay, yeah, so you're really just kind of leaning into it.
I would love to get a cowboy hat.
I would also love for you to get a cowboy hat.
And, like, a nice black one. I looked up the pricing. They're very expensive, but...
They're a little expensive.
The Boot Barn...
Cheaper than your guitars? Some.
No.
Some.
The actual... Like, I looked up actual nice Stetsons.
Well, you don't need to go high-end right out the gate.
No, I'm just saying, for reference...
You need an introductory hat.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. A nice Stetson is, like, $200-$300.
Yeah.
That is more than any of my guitars.
Yeah.
The introductory hats, I've seen some for like 60, 70.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're crap, but you know what? It's a good starter. It's a starter hat.
You need a
hat.
Starter hat.
And I would love to wear it when I go shopping at Menards,
Yeehaw.
At Meijer, and at Walmart, and when I go to the post office.
How are you? Yeah, that's all the places you go.
And when I go for a walk.
Yes.
And when I go for a walk.
I assume you're still just going to be double denim.
Yes.
Leather jacket.
Yeah.
Horror tee.
Yes.
Cowboy hat?
Yes.
Hmm.
Now, my mom, I talked to my mom about this.
Yeah, okay. You played.
And she did say, well, wait a minute. She's like, first off, where are you going to wear a cowboy hat to? And I said, where wouldn't I wear a cowboy hat to? I'd wear it everywhere.
Yeah. Of which you just said everywhere you go.
And then she said, but I do have cowboy shirts and Wranglers and jeans.
Yeah,
and she's
like,
are you just going to dress like a cowboy the whole time? And I said, well, sometimes yes, because I do like wearing a cowboy shirt.
I need to get some of those.
They're great.
What are those called? Are they like Rustlers, Wrangler?
Well, I mean, Wrangler.
There's a name for them.
Though. Oh, I don't know. I just know like the actual brand Wrangler.
Yeah, I mean,
makes
that's
cowboy
good.
Shirts.
Yeah,
and that's an easy, you can just search for that.
It's gone. I can't think of it right now.
But my mom said, well, or are you just going to wear your biker boots? Because that doesn't seem to go. And I said, Mom, these are different times. These are new times.
Yeah, yeah.
You can mix and match. You can wear your biker boots, which I do have, with a cowboy hat. Classic example. James Hetfield from Metallica.
Sure.
Wears a cowboy hat, but he still dresses as James Hetfield.
I've been purchasing more going back to my youth.
Yeah.
Well, in my 30s here. Yeah. We'll say in my twilight 30s at this point.
Yeah.
I've been going more into skateboard clothing here.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
Vans, you know, I got some Volcom shorts here. But I wouldn't mind like a cowboy shirt kind of thing. Kind of go like a Y'alternative kind of situation.
I see what you did there. Y'alternative. That kind of reminds me, this is not related to cowboys, but earlier I was thinking about a banana.
Okay.
And I said, well, if you could cross a banana with an animal, it'd be called a bananimal.
Yes.
I just thought of that randomly today. Oh,
and you...
I don't know why.
Okay.
You were talking about combining your skate aesthetic with a cowboy.
Certainly. So. I'm just trying to play out in my head when and where and how this happened.
I was walking to the garage.
You saw my bunch of bananas sitting there.
No, I didn't. I was walking to the garage, to the studio, and I just thought... You know what would be funny? A bananimal.
A bananimal, which is a sequel to the hit series, Manimal.
Yeah.
Banana man animal. Banana animal.
Bananimal.
Bum, bum, banana.
I think you should get a cowboy shirt.
Yeah, I think I will at some point.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just a multitude of different styles. There's like the very subtle cowboy shirt, and then there's the overtly fashionable.
I would probably go short sleeve with like the ornate design.
Yeah, yeah.
The studded button kind of situation.
How do you feel about a long sleeve and you roll those
I love a rolled long sleeve. I like long sleeves on me in general, though.
But you can roll them up.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. And that's good. Because the cowboy aesthetic, it's just, there's so many options. The one option that I wish I could afford, but can't, is a nudie suit.
Oh, most definitely. You can get a discount nudie suit.
Try finding them. You can't even find, there's no good discount nudie suits.
When I say discount nudie suit, I mean you'd get a speed suit and you'd be dazzling.
Right, yeah, yeah. But, you know, a nudie suit, those are like, $20,000 minimum.
Yeah, that's like half of what I owe on this house. Yeah.
And it's crazy to think that back in the like 60s and 70s, like George Jones or whoever, they were buying nudie suits back then that were also $20,000 in 1960s money.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Driving on your lawnmower.
Yeah. Just handing out hundreds of thousands of dollars to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I don't know how to ease into this. I don't know if I woke you up this morning, but I literally ran through the house this morning yelling, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, because there was a Blu-ray sale happening.
I heard some noise, but did you not. I was pretty tired.
I was like, fuck me, son of a fuck. Like, I was cursing myself because I had to spend money this morning. So yeah. I bought a lot of Blu-rays before you woke up.
All right, what'd you get?
What did I get? I got Black Sabbath. The Karloff film.
Mm-hmm.
I got The Raven, Vincent Price.
Yeah.
I got 4K Monster Squad.
Oh.
Upgraded
oh.
from my DVD. And I got on 4K Kindergarten Cop.
Oh!
Yeah. Man. Very exciting.
Ever since you got that region-free DVD player, you're going all out.
I mean, I've always been going kind of, it's kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Blu-rays are to me what guitars are for you.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get into this episode.
Yeah.
I got a lot written.
Solid preamble. How many pages did you write this time?
7.
By the time
and I edited it. Originally, I was like, this is not going to be a long episode. By the way,
you say that every time.
By the way, everybody, welcome to another fantastic episode of M3 with E5. I am your host, Epion 5, and joining me is Brian.
Yes,
I'm here. Aerosol Pro, yes, Mystery Monsters and Mayhem.
Every month I'm here.
I know. I like to say it, though.
I know.
I got that. It's like a sales pitch.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. You should have a lead-in. I don't have one for my own podcast, of which I have... like 5 times more episodes than you do. I still don't know how to start or end.
You know what
them.
You got?
What?
Charm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know this.
But yeah, originally I was like, okay, this will just be a quick episode. I'm only going to talk about a couple stories.
Punch out.
Exactly.
Punch in.
And then I was typing and typing and typing, and I realized that I was getting close to 8 pages, and I was like, well, I got to edit some stuff. So
I heard you in there softly talking to yourself.
Yeah. And
gesticulating and talking with your hands, presumably.
And I did something very exciting.
Yeah.
While you were not here Sunday night, when you were gone.
Watching True Dick.
Yes.
They don't need to know.
No.
We call True Detective in this house True Dick. Yeah. It's fine. Go on.
I got a little drunk on some Bloody Marys because I set out to record something.
You have this weird romanticized Ernest Hemingway thing going.
I think it's more like Richie Tenenbaum because it's a Bloody Mary. And that's all he drank in Royal Tenenbaums.
Doesn't end well for him.
No. I forgot about that. He survives.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been a long time since I actually recorded anything with my, like, my condenser mic and all that, so I needed to just get into the zone. So I recorded something.
You did a trial run.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I recorded something for this.
Oh.
Which we'll get to later. But it's exciting. I wanted to punch this script up.
Oh, okay.
With just some random fun, because warning to the audience, we're going on a ride.
Oh boy.
It's April. You know what that means?
Yeah.
He is risen.
Yeah, hashtag too blessed.
I know. But
too blessed, too furious.
Before we get that also did not end well for Paul Walker.
Oh, right. I thought you meant humanity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of... Are we talking about humanity as a result of so many Fast and Furious movies?
Yes. And Christianity.
Okay.
Both were bad for us.
Yeah, okay. Like a dual function eraser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're going to... Let's just get into the script. Yeah. I'm kind of fun. It's exciting.
We got a lot to get through.
I worked in a wrestling term. I got a swerve coming up.
Oh, he's getting wrestling terms in. Fun fact, though, by the time it's done, because I got one more to watch,
yeah,
my Harry Potter script will also be 7 pages long.
Oh, good God.
Craig is not going to be happy with this.
I'm excited that you've... I feel bad that you watched them all, because I know you're not a fan of the Harry Potter.
I feel bad. So for friend of the pod, Craig, he's got a show called I Have a Good Feeling About This, and they're doing a bunch of Harry Potter movies, and he's not going to be happy because I did not like them. That's spoilers, but you know, go listen to that when it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go on. Let's get into this.
Those little fidgets on the screen.
Oh yeah. We're watching,
Spookies.
Spookies right now. Yeah. On the Shutter.
Yeah.
So we're going to begin this episode by going back in time to the late 1970s, early 1980s, with a quick introductory dive into some classic heavy metal history.
Oh.
Yes. So, get your Flying V's out, your Gibson Explorers, or in my case, all my Chinese knockoffs, which are called Chibsons.
Yes.
That's the actual term.
Yeah. Still sounds kind of racist.
It is. Yeah. You know, it's Chinese guitars that are meant to look like Gibsons.
Yeah. Chibson.
So, you know, this episode is going to be fire.
Mm.
I'm excited. So,
did I ever tell you about the time, speaking of slightly racist things, I need to get this story out there. I don't know if I ever told it on a podcast before.
Well, let's record it for everybody to hear.
Yeah, no. When I worked at the used bookstore, we would get like stacks of DVDs that came in that were knockoffs for like people stationed overseas. Like,
yeah.
Like American troops, they would buy all these bootleg DVDs, and then when they came home, they would sell them to us.
Yeah.
There was one that was like, it was White Noise 2, right?
Okay.
Which was a direct-to-DVD sequel starring Nathan Fillion. But the back of it was the plot synopsis for Signs.
Huh.
But it had all this like English mispronunciations, misspellings, lost in translation shit.
Yeah.
And every they called him Mel Gibson. In the plot of Signs, every time it said Mel Gibson, it's Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
And so there was a lot of times where me and my friend Derek would like I would pick up like Lethal Weapon and be like, and he'd be like, ah, we honor you, Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I like that name better.
So that's what I think of when you say Chibson. I think of Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yes.
A Gibson guitar.
Yes. Okay, go.
Beginning back in 1979 in Richmond, California, a heavy metal thrash band by the name of Exodus was formed. One of its founding members was a young 16-year-old lead guitarist by the name of Kirk Hammett. Exodus was a very influential thrash band in the Bay Area scene with a loyal following, and Hammett was quite the guitar prodigy. At 16 years of age, he composed a song called Die by His Hand, a song that, although regularly featured in the live Exodus shows, never made it onto any Exodus album. And Die by His Hand featured a very catchy and memorable, it's a type of chord progression. I'm going to screw this one. Phrygian. Yeah, it's a type of chord progression called a Phrygian chord progression.
Okay.
Yeah. After Metallica's first album, Kill 'Em All, which came out in 1983, the band was having some very hard times dealing with its lead guitarist, Dave Mustaine.
Oh, hard times, brother. Let me tell you about hard
Dave
times.
Dave Mustaine.
Oh, you're doing that.
I know. Okay.
I was doing a Dusty Rhodes thing.
No, bicycle.
Yeah, hit him with a bicycle.
Yeah. But Dave Mustaine at this time was quite the awful drunk, which is saying something since the band was jokingly referred to at that time as Alcoholica.
That's clever.
Everybody in that band drank, but yeah. I can't imagine just how awful Mustaine was back then. But Metallica fired him, and they needed a quick replacement for shows as well as the recording of an upcoming second album. So in 1983, Kirk Hammett left Exodus and joined Metallica, replacing Dave Mustaine.
He had an Exodus.
Uh-huh. Get it?
Yeah.
Dual function Exodus.
Yes.
One day, Metallica was watching the last half of the classic Charlton Heston film, The Ten Commandments. Oh. Which one were you thinking?
Omega Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought Planet of the Apes. You know?
Sure.
But particularly, the scene in which the Angel of Death sweeps across Egypt, killing the firstborn children of the land as punishment for the Pharaoh holding the Hebrews as slaves. Now, the Angel of Death in the film is depicted as a slow-moving fog that sweeps over the land, slowly permeating into the homes of the Egyptians, killing all of the firstborn children.
There are ghost pirates in that fog.
Yeah. And Cliff Burton, legendary bassist, RIP, for Metallica, he remarked in regards to that fog, quote, whoa. It's like...
I was hoping that was the end of it.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa.
No. He said, whoa. It's like creeping death.
Ah.
And the band loved that term, creeping death, so much that they were inspired to write a song about the biblical event, albeit from the perspective of the angel who was tasked by God to kill the firstborn of the land. So remember that Phrygian chord progression that Kirk Hammett wrote when he was 16 when he was in Exodus?
Well, copy-paste.
Yes, exactly. Yes. He brought that chord progression into this new song and inserted it as a breakdown that required everybody to chant along. And it's one of the most infamous parts of any Metallica song. They played it every concert. It's the part where they go, die by my hand.
Oh, yes.
I creep across the land.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great.
So good.
Yeah. But that was, he wrote that when he was 16.
Cool.
That's just a little fun fact. But that song ended up becoming Creeping Death, one of the greatest Metallica songs ever written.
Of all time.
It was featured on their second album. 1984's Ride the Lightning, and due to its strength, it was the only commercial single from that album. Now, to be fair, they also did release Fade to Black and For Whom the Bell Tolls as promotional singles, but the official single was Creeping Death.
Interesting.
Now, I can't begin to tell you how much that song meant to me. As a teenager, I lived heavy metal. I mean, you were a skate boy?
Yeah.
Skate ska boy?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, yeah. I was a heavy metal guy. I mean, I breathed it. Most other teens were trying to get laid around this time. Not this guy.
He says proudly on the podcast.
I know. Other teens, they were getting wasted in...
Sorry. He says proudly as a 50-year-old podcaster.
Yeah. That's better. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
While other teens were getting wasted at keg parties out in cornfields. Keg parties. Oh, if there was a cake party,
I would go to a cake party.
Yeah,
not the band cake.
No.
Don't get
an actual party
them,
with
but
cake.
But an actual cake.
Yes. No. Keg parties, which they would have out in cornfields.
Yeah.
Getting shit-faced?
Sure.
I didn't go. No. What I did back then.
Yes, please.
What I did.
Tell me what you did.
I used to pop my Ride the Lightning cassette tape into my boombox. I would sit on the edge of my bed and I would air drum with drumsticks.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was pulling a Carl to the song Creeping Death. I did this so much, and honest to God, so often that I would get blisters on me fingers.
Oh.
Like, to the point where they would bleed.
From like...
No, because I had drumsticks in my hands.
Oh, you were actually drumming. Gotcha.
And I was air drumming, so the friction of the wood in my hands...
You wouldn't drum on your lap?
No. I would pretend I was actually playing a drum set while listening to Creeping Death.
Fucking nerd.
And yeah, here's the funny thing. I had an actual drum set in the other room.
Yeah.
But
yeah, yeah.
air drumming to Metallica on the edge of my bed.
But you didn't have that kit.
No, I didn't have the Lars Ulrich kit.
No.
I had a kit that was similar, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My first drum kit was a Gretsch Blackhawk five-piece.
Yeah.
It was white with black drum heads, which was similar to the Lars Ulrich Tama kit.
Yeah. You didn't have all of his shit.
No, it was a, so it was a simple five-piece.
That's why you had to air drum, because you didn't have all this other shit around you.
Also,
had to slim down.
Back then, we did not have the headphone technology that we have today.
That's true.
So yeah. I couldn't listen to it and play drums, so I would listen to it on my boombox and air drum while my drum set sat in the other room.
Collecting dust.
No, I did play it. I played it every day.
I thought you meant here.
No, well, here it does collect dust. Yeah, I don't play my drums at this point anymore.
No. Retired.
I'm just lazy.
Semi-retired.
Yeah. So, yeah, simple pleasures. Now, of course, as a teenager, and even to this day, I rarely pay attention to song lyrics.
Very much so.
That's true. If you ask me to sing song lyrics to a song, I will just make up gibberish. Mel Gibberish.
Thank you. Oh, Mel Gibbleson.
Mel Gibbleson. I will make up Gibbleson.
Yeah. So much so that it borderline comes off as mockery,
yeah,
unless you actually know you and you're like, oh, he actually just doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize he's doing this.
Yeah.
And two, this is somehow a form of flattery.
Yeah. I call it rock jocking.
Yes.
Rock jocking.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't care to learn the lyrics to a song. It's just that I like, when I listen to a song, I kind of hear it as it's just amorphous, everything,
like wall of noise,
yeah, combined together,
yeah,
you know. But when I sat down to read the lyrics of Creeping Death, I was taken aback as a teenager. This wasn't just a balls to the wall heavy metal song.
You said, what was that?
Yeah, exactly. Metallica's Creeping Death could actually be considered a Christian song because of its lyrical content and narrative.
Did I ever do my Charlton Heston impersonation for you, by the way?
You have. Thank you. The lyrics of the song, the content, the narrative, they are the literal description of one of the most infamous events in the Bible. An event in which God...
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes, thank you. God, who loves us all so much, decided that the best way to deal with a problem was to brutally kill and murder the children of Egypt. And that, my friends, is the actual topic of today's episode. God, abortion, the Bible, and the kids. Are they all right? Are they?
Oh, hashtag too blessed creeping death.
Now... Before we go any further...
That was like a subtitle of like a 2020 yeah, or like 60 minutes segment, by the
way.
Well,
I'm trying to be more professional.
No, you did great
there.
Yeah,
thank you.
Was that like Andy Rooney or whatever?
He had a voice. Yeah, I'm trying to remember his voice. Yeah, I'm Andy Rooney.
Yeah, if you could do the title of that in Andy Rooney's voice.
God, abortion, the Bible, and the kids. Are they all right?
That was pretty good. And what's that all about?
What's that all about? Now, before we go any further...
That's a very dated reference.
I know. We can laugh about it. Trigger warning. I'm going to be talking about some sensitive subjects.
Obviously with that title, I think they know what the triggers are.
Yes. Now, I'm going to say the same thing that I said about last year's April episode about religion.
Yeah, go listen to that. That's a good episode.
Yeah. If you are a Christian or a religious person and you love your beliefs and you treat everybody with kindness, compassion, and without judgment, basically, if you align with the beliefs and actions of the Holy Trinity, Dolly Parton, Stephen Colbert, and Jimmy Carter.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
They are all Christians, and nobody hates them because they're not fucking assholes about it. But if you're not like Dolly Parton, Stephen Colbert, or Jimmy Carter, you keep listening.
Or
fuck
off.
Yeah. Or fuck off. It's fine.
One or the other.
Yeah. But this episode is not about the people who actually respect everybody with kindness.
Right. Very hard to do.
It is.
I don't respect most with kindness.
Neither do I.
Mostly just dogs.
It's why I say hello to the puppers when I go for walks every day.
Yeah.
So let's get into it.
Yeah.
As recently as June of 2022, Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Yeah, we could do a whole episode about
Alabama. I know.
Alabama.
Fuck Alabama.
In this state, we get a lot of shit for how conservative and backwards ass our shit is.
Right.
We are nowhere near Texas or an Alabama.
No.
And that is something I can take pride and solace in.
And sadly, it's probably going to change. Like, it's going to get worse for conservative states. They're going to keep... Alabama's just the start. But yeah. Alabama has ruled that abortion is illegal and there are no exceptions to be made unless the life of the mother is in danger. The no exception rule also applies to rape and or incest, meaning should a woman become pregnant as the result of violently forced sexual activity or incest? Too bad. She's responsible for that child. She has to carry it to term, regardless. The child that she never chose to have? Too bad.
Yeah.
That's what the law says. Even more recently, Alabama. I'm okay not saying that, right? Alabama.
I think any words you say wrong, they're funnier if you don't replace them with the real word.
Right. Alabama has ruled that frozen embryos are now considered to have the same legal rights as living people.
So what is to stop? Because they really didn't plan this shit through.
No.
Who's to stop a mother? Well, I guess now you actually would be a mother of, like, freezing their embryos and then claiming all of these eggs as dependents on their taxes.
I don't think they thought about that.
That'll fuck up everything.
Yeah.
If you're in Alabama and you've not filed your taxes yet, one, you got to do that. But two, put those eggs as dependents.
Yeah, H&R Block, if you're listening, let us know. What's the legal wranglings of this?
Take that state for what they're fucking worth.
Yeah. But the sad thing about that, what that really means, tax exemptions aside and dependents, is if any of those frozen embryos that are used in the process of in vitro fertilization are damaged or rendered unusable, which happens when in the process of couples trying to have a child through those means.
If a fucking power grid goes out.
Right. The doctors and the prospective parents can be charged with murder and or manslaughter.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Now, I bring this up because on social media, I've seen the expressed opinions of very conservative Christians. Again, not the Dolly Partons, not the Stephen Colberts. But very conservative Christians.
Especially not the Jimmy Carters. I don't even think he would know how to use social media.
He knows how to use a hammer. That man is true. He's still building houses.
That is true.
Good. God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless that peanut farmer.
Yes.
But Christians, in short, view abortion as not only a sin, but as the actual act of murdering a child. And they view the unborn with equal reverence as a living child out of the womb. Plain and simple, there is no excuse for abortion. It is a sinful murder of a child.
All babies want to be born.
Yeah, I see those fucking signs everywhere, man. Goddamn billboards. Ugh.
Yeah.
Now, I find these views of Alabama, I'm just going to say Alabama, and the average Christian frustratingly fascinating in a sad way, because if you've read the Bible, it becomes clear and obvious that God has murdered countless children, and I don't mean just a few. I mean countless. Everything from striking down the unborn from the wombs of mothers to infanticide to the murderous condemnation of rebellious teenagers. I just learned this one. Yes, at one point in the Bible, if you have a rebellious teenager who doesn't listen or follow the rules, you as a parent are required to kill them through the act of stoning. Now, that particular passage, it's not implying a figurative death. No, it's the literal act of bashing your teenager's head with a rock.
Well, look, to be fair, though, back then, a teenager, that was middle age.
That's true, yeah.
You know?
And by the time you were a teenager, you should be married and have kids.
True.
And grandkids, probably.
Yes. And grandkids.
Yeah. Now, how is it possible?
Way higher death toll on God's side than our boy down below.
Oh, yeah.
Satan.
Oh, yeah. I ask you this.
Please.
How? It's actually for you or anybody out there. How?
Yes.
I keep thinking of Andy Rooney for everything. Sorry about
that. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. How is it possible that conservative states such as Alabama and Christians are so adversely opposed to abortion and regard it as an unforgivable sin when they at the same time praise the perfection of a sinless God who does and commits the very acts that they speak out against.
I mean, I know this is a rhetorical question, but one,
go ahead.
Most of these people have not read this book.
Okay. yeah.
Two, those moves are largely distractions and moves to incite people and really pull their attention away from real topics at hand.
Sure. Yeah. Like deflection?
Yes.
Yeah.
Largely.
I get into that later on, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm not
here. Baby's great at deflecting things.
Yeah.
Soft, malleable.
Yes.
Can really take
it. They can take a bounce.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of Bible verses because that would be soul crushing, since most of you who listen to this episode are hoping that Brian and I are going to go off on a Malort tangent or get stuck in an echo chamber of Barb Novak.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I'll tell you, Barb's definitely read the good book.
Oh, yes. You know, she has. But you know what, Barb? She gets a little crazy sometimes.
She does get a little crazy. Those bake sales are pretty nuts.
And you get a little peppermint schnapps in her.
Oh.
But she gets a little flirty. I've seen it, you know. She likes to kiss a guy or two on the cheek,
a little,
you know?
Creme de menthe, if you can swing
it. Oh, that's right, yeah. And you know what I heard about Barb? Barb told me that Gail Novoleski's niece, she got knocked up by old Johnny Schutzenhofer.
What? No.
Yes. Yes. Gail's niece got knocked up by Johnny
Did you just make that name up? Or did you write that down?
I'm ad-libbing.
Are you meaning to tell me that you're yes-anding Johnny Schutzenhofer?
Johnny Schutzenhofer got it with Gail's niece. Okay?
Gail's niece?
Out
of wedlock?
Out of wedlock.
Wow.
And you know what I heard?
Yeah.
Johnny don't have a job. And her niece don't have a job. So, you know what? They said, hey, everyone gets one. So everyone gets one, and then we'll go back to not having abortion. So she got an abortion.
Oh!
That's what I heard.
Wow.
Johnny was fine with it because he didn't want fucking kids, you know?
Johnny can't even spell his own last name. That's
no,
what I
heard. No, it's a hard one. Schutzenhofer?
yeah, it's not going to fit on a library
card.
Yeah,
no. Exactly, no. But I should point out, I was friends with an actual Johnny Schutzenhofer.
No.
Yeah, no. No. He and I were in a band together.
Oh, God. You were in a band with half of the fucking city.
Johnny Schutzenhofer was the bassist for a band I was in called Kiss and Tell. It was a glam band. And then Johnny left, and then Johnny's younger brother, Danny Schutzenhofer, then played bass.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
I think I'm going to do a podcast about all the weird names of people I know.
Yeah.
In the past.
Real names.
Real names. Yeah. Johnny Schutzenhofer is a real name.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Johnny, if you're out there, send this guy an Instagram message.
So, oh, man, I'm coughing now. So, again, I'm not going to bore you with Bible verses because, honestly, I'd rather wax poetic about the warm joys of Mastacholi all day long.
Well, they're also long-winded and boring as fuck.
Yes, they are. and most of you want to hear about the monsters and the spooky strange. But I ask you, I ask you, the listener, is God not the real monster in all of this?
I thought Oliver Reed was the real monster.
Yeah, but Oliver Reed's cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Yeah. He's a great werewolf.
Fun fact, I didn't know this, and you just learned it recently. Oliver Reed's dick was tattooed.
Yeah. Yeah. Eagle talons.
An eagle talons. And when somebody asked why, he would say, would you like to see where the eagle is perched?
Yeah. It's fucking mental.
That guy was, he was a monster, but the kind of monster I'd want to hang out with.
Yeah, dude, fucks.
So, he did. But seriously, as a former man of the cloth myself, I like to ponder and discuss the absurdities that exist within religion.
You say man of the cloth like you were a priest.
I know, yeah.
That got excommunicated.
Yes, yeah.
That is not the case.
But that's how I feel.
You studied, and then you wizened up and went, hey, actually, this is dumb as shit, and then you left.
Yes.
Something it took you like 20 plus years to figure out.
It took me a while.
That it took me about three times going to church to figure out. Be like, talking snake in a tree. That's what we're doing here?
Yeah.
You guys are fucking stupid.
But before we go on, I do need to establish some basic biblical truths. Mm. So we can use it as a background when we're talking about some other stories. So
also, I mean, yeah, it's dumb, but like, you know, you probably what you think what I believe in is dumb as well.
Oh, there's
I'm not saying my shit's better than anybody else's
shit. No.
What I will say is that preaching to the masses and organized religion in general is a bad idea.
Yeah.
You should just believe what you believe. And it's like politics, right? You just believe what you believe and don't tell anybody about it.
I just posted on my Instagram a video that I found of King Diamond.
Oh, yes. Yes, I saw
King
that.
Diamond, if you don't know, King Diamond is an actual Satanist.
Yeah.
And he is a famous heavy metal musician. Also one of the smartest guys out there. And in this little video, he basically says, you know, he's friends with Christians. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He'll talk about religion. He'll be friends.
Yeah.
Basically, he just kind of, you know, more eloquently said the same thing I said earlier, is just don't be a fucking asshole about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I do need to establish some basic biblical truths.
Please.
And this is stuff that nobody can argue against. It's what people believe. Well, you and I will argue against it. But people within the religion. So, number one.
Spout them off and I'll tell you if they're right.
Yeah. God is perfect.
Nah.
He is. I know. He is not only without sin, he is by definition incapable of sinning. He cannot sin, according to the Bible.
I mean, I wouldn't say perfect, though, because, like, he made man and then... And then it took him a while and then he was like, he needs someone to hang out with and fuck.
No.
Rib.
Stop thinking.
Sorry.
Just stop thinking.
Okay, go on.
You're already... You gotta stop it.
He took a rest on the seventh day? He needs a day to nap?
Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
Okay. Let's say it. God is perfect. Mm. He cannot commit sin. Mm-hmm. Being that God is perfect, his creations are therefore perfect. He is incapable of creating something imperfect. I know. The Bible is the word of God. God is perfect, therefore his words are perfect, therefore the Bible is perfect, and the Bible is also eternal. I know.
Why has it been edited so many times?
I know. God knows everything.
Yeah.
God knows everything. Yeah. He can literally do anything. He can create the entirety of the universe within days. He can create man from nothing. He is, in my opinion, like an actual magician who can just poof. There it is.
Oh, you're talking about the new poof?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read the new poof?
I did read the new poof. Yes,
yeah. And lastly,
yeah,
we are his creation.
Yeah.
And he loves us. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't make us. And he wants us, all of us, to reside in heaven with him when we die. And these are just basic biblical truths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? I'm fine.
Yeah, okay, I know. I know you're fine. So.
You know, genuinely, I forget that religion's actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until about this time of every year.
Yeah, you don't think about it.
When you sit me down and talk to me about stuff from a book.
I think about it a lot. I'm fascinated by not just Christianity, but all religions.
I mean, I used to be like a really angry asshole atheist back in the day. And now it's kind of come to like when I meet somebody and we get to talk and like I can just have a free speech of like, yeah, what do you believe in? And then they'll tell me and I'm like, yeah, it's cool, whatever, man.
I like that kind of discussions.
Yeah.
But in the past, I've tried to have discussions like that with some of my staunchly conservative Christian friends and it never ended well. Because I would inevitably ask a question that it couldn't really be answered without a contradiction from previous answers on their part.
Right. Well, I mean, doesn't that ultimately just come down to a lack of knowledge on the subject and or some sort of insecurity in their own selves and their own beliefs?
Well, I actually address some of these issues about why certain beliefs are held.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Let's get into just a few classic biblical stories.
Oh, boy.
That showcase God's perfect love for the kids.
I'm bored already.
I know you are. Now, the first tale is the classic of Abraham and Isaac.
Classic. Total classic.
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 Yes, I almost said Alabraham.
Alabraham.
Alabraham and Isaac. Now, Abraham was a servant of God. He's a servant of the Lord, but God, all-knowing and all-seeing, decided to test Abraham's faith. Now, God wanted to know, Hey,
Gabagool, what are you doing?
How much do you love me, Abraham? So God told Abraham to take his only son to a certain spot on a mountain, and once there, Abraham was to kill his son as a sacrifice to God.
You had such a good opening to do a Kojak reference there, of Who Loves You, Baby, and you fucking stepped right over it like it was dead in the road.
I am just trying to get through this script.
God, I love Telly Savalas.
He's a good guy.
Go on.
Dead, but good.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
So Abraham and a couple of servants packed up some wood, some supplies, and a knife onto a donkey. Yeah! And together with his son Isaac, set out for the mountain. Now, as they were traveling, Isaac noted, this had to be a little awkward. Isaac noticed that while they had the wood and the knife for the burnt offering that they were supposed to make, they didn't have the sacrificial lamb with them. And he asked his father, Dad, like, where's the lamb that we're gonna kill? Had to be a little weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Abraham simply replied, God is going to provide the sacrifice, my son. Don't you worry about that. Don't think about that too much. You know what? You're going to be fine.
You know what thinking will get you? It'll get you killed.
That's right. And you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Get on that ass.
Yeah, he said,
that mountain.
Don't you worry about that and don't think about it. So up the mountain they went. And when they got there, Abraham built a wood burning pile.
Oh, like a wicker man?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
After which he then grabbed his son, tied him up, and put him on top of the wood. And I'm sure at this point Isaac...
Slap!
Yeah. Isaac was like, Dad! Why are you gone crazy? Why are you doing, Dad?
Yeah.
You know, but Abraham was like, Son, God wants me to prove my faith in him by doing a random act of sacrificial violence. Hey, he wants me to kill you. You didn't do anything wrong, son. It's not you. Hey, it's not me. It's him.
He told me to do it. I gotta do it.
He wants proof of my faith and love for him. And you know what? If I do this, he said he's gonna bless me with a lot more stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. That's always that.
Isn't that like false idols and shit, right? Like if you're like if you're all about the stuff.
Well,
the stuff. That's great.
I think in this case the stuff is just icing on the cake of Abraham's life.
Sure, or like a good harvest or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Isaac's the son?
Isaac is the son, yeah.
Why does he sound like Balky Baltakis?
Because it's boring otherwise, yeah. That's a great show, too. Perfect Strangers? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm coming in with all of the classic hits here. That everyone knows what I'm talking about.
I know. So, yeah, Abraham was like, I'm sorry for the stabby. Got a stabby.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird that he was practicing on a tree for like 6 hours and Isaac never really caught on.
So Abraham raised the knife, and just before he plunged the knife into the chest of his son, an angel of the Lord appeared and said, Stop! Stop it! Don't do it! Don't! It's absolutely clear that you fear the Lord. No need to kill your son. I'm just trying to do like a kind of like an off-kilter John Waters.
Oh, okay. I was seeing it as beef. I thought it was beef.
Well, when John Waters does what was that? Better get yourself a castrata for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the angel's like, no, don't do it. And then it was at this point that a ram appeared. Like, ram.
Oh, yeah. Not like a Ford F-150.
No. Oh. And then Abraham killed the ram instead. So, everything out in the air. So happy.
So, in my mind.
Yeah.
The framing of this is Isaac's on the ground. Abraham coming down hot with a knife.
Yes.
Angel's like, whoa.
Yes.
Don't do that. And then a goat or a ram appears and just reflexively, he just stabs it in the neck.
Yeah, he was like, I don't have to kill my son.
Didn't even think about that. He just had bloodlust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all a sacrifice for the god.
Sure, whatever.
So in the end, there was no actual child killing per se. But this story, which is regarded by many of faith as a beautiful story of love and humbleness, it's in my opinion, it's a classic example of domestic abuse and manipulation. God, who knows everything, and according to the Bible, knows what is within the hearts of man, wanted a grown man to kill his child to prove something that God already knew. Now, I'll say this.
It's testing the faith, right? That's what the whole... what they're saying, right?
But if a person's relationship, any relationship for that matter, is based in any way upon fear, That is not a healthy relationship. That is referred to as a form of manipulation and psychological abuse. There's nothing beautiful about using fear to make someone commit an act of atrocity as a means to seek approval, or as a means to test them.
There is something beautiful about a Ram 1500 TRX.
Yeah. Oh, you're not wrong there.
Yeah. Beautiful towing capability.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? It's a four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, all-wheel drive.
Thank you.
God, it's beautiful. You could get up a mountain in no time, faster than any donkey. I'm just going to work in Ram TRX.
Yeah. No, I mean,
1500.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking up old pickup trucks last night when trying to fall asleep.
I love a good old
pickup. Like a 1970s, early 80s pickup truck? Yeah. I would love to get one.
It'd be nice.
I'm drinking my Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah, that's biblical, too.
It is. Now, moving right along. I opened this episode with the story behind the classic Metallica song, Creeping Death.
Yeah.
But what exactly is the biblical story behind the Creeping Death? Well, let's get into... Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to do a very short and abridged version that inspired what is considered to be Metallica's number one song as voted by Guitar World magazine. Yeah!
Nice.
It's true.
Nice.
Now, the Israelites...
There's going to be a lot of dumb voices, probably. Oh.
In this one?
Yeah.
Actually, no. That's a bummer. I just want because there. It's actually this is actually a very long story in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I really just wanted to condense it.
All right, get in there.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go get them, champ.
Thank you. Now the Israelites, God's chosen people, they were slaves to the Egyptians, and if memory serves correct, I believe they were slaves for about 400 years.
Mm, good run.
That's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now one day, God said to Moses. Hey, Moses.
See, there they are.
Yeah, hey. Hey, Moses.
Yeah.
You know what? You guys, you shouldn't be slaves. Slavery is wrong. It's immoral. Hey, you should tell that Pharaoh to let you go, and if he doesn't comply, I'm going to release a fucking plague upon that land. So Moses said to the Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh.
Let my people go.
Thank you.
Yeah,
no I was problem. Hoping you'd no do problem. That.
Yeah.
Right. But the Pharaoh said, no way. No way.
No way.
No way. These are my slaves. This is my free labor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they get college credits.
You know, they do. And they do get a shack to live in.
Yeah.
So God released a plague upon Egypt by turning the waters of the Nile into blood.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Pepsi.
No, but that would have been cool, man.
Yeah.
Or a Royal Crown Cola.
Yeah.
I'd be swimming in that. I'd be drinking that as I'm swimming. I would die of blood sugar.
Most definitely.
A week later, the plague dissipated, and the Pharaoh was like,
hey, that's weird.
Yeah, you guys are still slaves. Yeah, whatever. So God...
Hey, you know what? That was a pretty piss-poor plague, if you ask me.
I know, right?
Play it again, Sam.
Exactly. So God told Moses to demand freedom again or else. So Moses said to the Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh, please, my people go.
Just get them out of here,
go,
dude.
Man.
Just get the fuck out of here.
But the Pharaoh was like, no. So God set forth another plague.
Yeah.
And this time, do you know what the second plague was?
Are we at locusts yet?
No, we're not at locusts.
Mm, that's a good one.
Yeah. The second plague. This is supposed to be punishment. Frogs.
Oh, yeah.
This is frogs.
In the desert?
Just a bunch of frogs everywhere.
They're not going to last.
Just hippity-hoppity everywhere. Yeah. In houses. And you know what? That's good eating right there.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, that's frog legs. That's where
I've had frog legs.
You know what? Historically, that's where frog legs came from. Came from this plague. That's why we eat them today.
I thought you were going to say frogs. Yeah. Frogs are where frog legs came from, historically.
Huh. But that'll show them, God. Give them a bunch of frogs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it didn't do anything.
No.
It's just frogs.
Yeah.
It was at this point.
In the desert.
In the desert. Yes, thank you.
They're going to die, like, now.
Well, you got the Nile, you know, providing some moisture.
I don't know anything about the Nile.
Well, it's big and it's wet. Okay?
God damn it.
Now, it was at this point that Moses and the Pharaoh went back and forth, Moses demanding freedom for the people and the Pharaoh refusing and God setting forth a plague.
They're writing things on pieces of paper and sliding them.
Oh, like a...
Yeah, like you do it like a deal.
Yeah. Really, it's just Moses sliding a paper that says, let my people go.
Yeah, and then no.
No. And yes. Then there was a plague. Now, yeah. Here's the list of plagues.
Ooh.
So, remember, number one was the Nile turned to blood. Number two was frogs. Frogs.
Yeah.
Great band, by the way, the Frogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. So I know. Oh, we listened to them in a hotel room one time.
Grandma in the corner with a penis in her hand saying, no, 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 no. Those are actual lyrics.
She's not wrong.
Yeah. Number three.
Yes.
Lice and gnats.
Lice and gnats?
Lice and gnats.
Oh.
Which, come on. Just
yeah.
Get yourself a, you know what? Just get yourself a fly swatter.
Hey, that's no, it doesn't work that
apple
way.
Vinegar, that, apple vinegar.
Not quite.
It'll get rid of them. That's what I use when I resin.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have lice here.
But gnats.
Okay, yeah, it'll get rid of the gnats.
That'll get rid of the gnats.
It'll definitely get rid of the gnats.
The lice, you just bathe in the Nile.
Yeah, that's probably. It. Yeah.
So, number three, wild animals just fucking four. Shit up. Oh, I'm sorry, number four.
Four is wild four. Animals.
Wild animals shit just up. Fucking shit up. Just running loose in the streets.
Yeah.
That's not anything. That's just running with the bulls. You turn that into a fun contest. Exactly.
Yeah.
Number five.
Five.
Pestilence of the livestock. Now, I do feel bad for the animals, because that's like getting sick and dying.
Okay, so we sent out the animals. They ain't getting it done.
Right, so now we kill them.
Gotta kill them.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have to clean up all these dead animals now.
Exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
They're shitting and pissing everywhere.
I know.
Trampling all the frogs.
So, number six.
Yeah.
Boils.
Boils?
Just get yourself like a good cream.
Crab?
Just get a good cream.
Just a good crab boil?
Good crab boil, whatever. But yeah, just get God, some cortisone. I love a good
crab boil.
Put that on there. That's what
oh, you mean of the skin?
Of the skin.
Hate yeah. that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. Number seven.
Yeah.
Thunderstorm of hail and fire.
That's pretty metal.
It is very fucking metal. And actually, that is what Ming the Merciless used in Flash Gordon the movie. If you remember in the beginning.
Yes.
Thunderstorm of hail and fire.
I think it would be great. Well, what you got to edit this down. This is way too many plagues.
Yeah.
I think if you combine the hail and fire with the blood.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
It's metal.
That paints a whole portrait.
It's a Judas Priest video, man.
It's basically a Judas Priest video.
It's awesome.
It's the ending of the 2013 Evil Dead remake.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And number eight, this is what you mentioned.
That's for the locusts.
Locusts. Well, that's just a bunch of flying crickets.
Yeah, but they fuck up your crops
they
real
do,
bad.
They do, but real really, bad. It doesn't, whatever.
They're you know loud. What? They're hey, scary.
If anything.
They're kind of scary.
Guess what? Also good eating. There's a lot of protein.
I mean, it does make sense that you would drop the locust at the end because the animals could just eat the locust.
Right.
You know, you don't want them to get comfortable.
And now number nine.
There's nine?
There's actually 10 total.
Jesus.
I know.
Christ.
Number nine.
Yeah.
3 days of darkness. Just light a candle.
That's fine.
I know.
That's not a problem.
No.
That's actually the least of the problems.
I know. All of these kind of
I would look
fun.
Forward to that one, actually.
I know, me too. Yeah, I think some of these are fun.
I mean, like, I don't want animals running in here fucking my shit up.
No, but I do think it's fun just to kind of like dodge a bunch of animals. But
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. A thunderstorm of hail and fire, I'd be on my
that's
roof
really cool.
playing guitar.
That's great. Not a good idea. You should not do that.
No. Nah,
the raccoons are up there.
No, I know, but the Eric Draven did it in The Crow.
Yeah,
it was cool. Yeah, it was fun.
Didn't end well for him either.
No. I mean, look, now they're going to reboot. Yeah, it didn't end well that they're doing a reboot that's going to blow.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to suck. It's going to definitely suck. We'll probably do it on this podcast. Yeah.
Number 10. This is the big one.
The final.
The final plague.
Yeah.
God decided that if the Pharaoh would not free the Israelites from slavery, that he was going to kill the firstborn of the land. Yeah! Now, when I say firstborn, because a lot of people don't really think about what that means, but I looked into it. The firstborn, it means the firstborn of everyone and everything, even animals.
Oh.
Yeah. So you could be a 25-year-old man or woman, but if you happen to be the firstborn,
sure.
Dead.
Yeah. You turn into dust like Thanos.
If you are the firstborn of a slave, dead.
Mm.
If you are the firstborn of livestock, dead.
I mean, best case scenario, you're on your deathbed.
Yeah.
You're the firstborn.
Right.
You know.
Like you're an 85-year-old firstborn?
Well, I mean, in biblical times?
Yes. Yeah, well, they lived a long time back
They lived
then.
Like 400 years old, it's but that's because they, didn't have a fucking calendar. They didn't know what time was then.
No, no. So,
fucking idiots.
Now, what? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What if you were the firstborn of a poor working class Egyptian family who doesn't own any slaves? You're not part of the slave system.
Right, right. This is that line from Army of Darkness. It's like, I never even met this asshole before.
Right.
I don't even know this guy, man.
Guess what? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, dead.
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 Now, God.
Tot.
In his, thank you, German, appreciate it.
No problem.
In his infinite wisdom, in God's infinite wisdom and excellent problem solving skills.
I'm an excellent problem solver. Come in here. I gave you some pestilence. I made it rain.
I gave you lice.
I give you the lice. I'm going to kill all your children. Yeah.
And that's
I'm
what
really
he
good at it.
Yeah. He sent an
I'm
angel.
Very smart.
Is he?
No. God or Trump?
Either?
No. Well, okay. Some people see him as the same thing.
I know. That's fucked up, man. A
lot
Come
of
on.
Purple in that in
Come
that Venn
on.
Diagram.
No, you don't know purple. No, I don't like that.
You can't
that.
Really tell what purple
nope.
is, but let me tell
no,
you,
I
it
can't.
Ain't pretty.
No. So God sent an angel of death to Egypt to kill the men, the women, teenagers, the children,
yeah.
and the babies.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
Thank you. Now, the only means to avoid this angelic death sentence was to put the blood of a lamb upon your door. If you did so, which is what Moses and the Israelites did.
Well, it's a good thing they sent all those animals out there.
Exactly. If they did that, put blood on your door, the angel of death would pass over your home and not kill your firstborn, hence the term Passover.
Ah, shit. Yeah, I was gonna, but can't do it.
Yeah.
You win this round.
Yeah. So, in the end, God killed a lot of people, babies included.
Yeah.
As a result of the deaths, including a child of his own, the Pharaoh relented and granted freedom to the Israelites. Now, this whole scenario, this whole story is looked at as a positive note in the history of Christianity. Oh! Oh, God! Oh, he loves me so much! Look what he did for me! Hey, it's all for me.
It's all for me.
It's all for me.
It's all for me.
Yeah.
Which is what the Bible's all about. Exactly. Me.
Whoa! However, if you take a step back, and Love really to. Think about it, it is a very fucked up and cruel story. Now, no doubt, slavery is immoral. There are no arguments there.
Firm stance for you to take.
Thank
You're
you.
So brave.
Yeah, thank you. Had to clarify it. Had to get it out there. But God,
I would rank it, I would probably give it a 1 out of 10 on things that I'm really a big fan of.
What's that?
Slavery.
Slavery?
Yeah, yeah. I would give it a failing grade.
Thank you.
Yeah.
God's best and ingenious plan in dealing with the slave owners of Egypt was to eliminate the children. And not just the children of slave owners, but the firstborn of anyone and everyone
within Egypt.
Well,
how could he tell? How could he tell?
Well, he's all-knowing.
Yeah, he's all-knowing, but like that's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I don't really see him being a paperwork kind of guy.
Now, well,
I mentioned that the firstborn of slaves were also killed.
Yeah.
So you see, it wasn't just the Israelites who were slaves. There were other slaves, as well as slaves of Egyptian lineage, foreign slaves from other countries, and so forth. There were a lot of different types of slaves.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, of different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So part of God's plan to deal with the issue of slavery was to also kill the firstborn of the slaves.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, how's he going to know? How's he going to know?
Jeez, shut
God
up.
Doesn't see
shut
color,
up.
You know?
Shut it.
Yeah.
God.
It's all or nothing with this guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, as mentioned before, God has the ability to literally do anything. He created the universe, created man from nothing.
Whatever.
Why beat around the bush with an overly complicated plan? Why not just kill the slave owners themselves?
I don't think that you're seeing this the right way.
I mean, they are, after all, the ones who are committing the immoral act of owning humans as a means of labor. So if God has the ability to appear and speak to Moses, why not just speak to the Pharaoh, to the slave owners?
Yeah, you're really overcomplicating this.
No.
It's you're either in or you're out.
No!
And if you're out, fuck you. Actually, fuck all you. Because it's Saturday, and tomorrow?
Saturday.
Tomorrow, I got to rest,
in
baby.
The park.
Yeah. Thank Killing all the children on the 4th of July. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I love that song from Chicago.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good song.
So, here's the thing, though. God didn't actually solve the problem of slavery.
What?
No. Now, hear me out.
Hmm.
He didn't free his people through any revelation that slavery is wrong or immoral and that the Israelites should be free to make their own choices. He used children and their unfortunate deaths as a means to instill fear into the Egyptian people.
You give them an inch, they take a mile.
Again, if you have to use fatal tactics to induce fear as a means to manipulate people into complying, you're not the good guy.
We're the baddies. Are you saying we're the baddies?
Yeah. Well, not you and me.
Well, yeah, that's God upstairs
yeah.
talking to Peter or something.
I don't know. You're wearing that German hat with the skull and crossbones. I don't.
We might be the baddies.
We might be the baddies in this one.
Yeah.
Now, at this point in the episode, I could go on and on about the various times that God has killed and commanded for the deaths of the unborn infants and children. There are various times in the Bible, a lot of times, where it's
innumerable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not lying. I read a website that just listed all the various times God talked about killing children or demanding that somebody kill a child. I did not get through it. I mean, it just went on and on.
Right.
It's crazy.
Who has the time?
I don't. I got things to do.
You got guitar to play.
I gotta drink this Bloody Mary.
Here's the thing, though. I think a real big problem with this book that you're talking about here,
the good book,
the Bible,
the Bible,
right?
The Bible.
Is that a lot of people take a lot of these fucking stories like literally?
Yes.
Of which, like, even that one there, like, that is not a literal tale. That none of that shit actually happened. And if it did, it was in a minute scale of something like that.
I mean, there were
like maybe some crops.
There were slaves in Egypt.
Well, yeah, that part is definitely true.
Yeah.
But like maybe some crops went bad.
Yeah, that happens.
And that killed a bunch of people. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, God is coming after us.
Locust swarms are common.
If that's even the case. Yeah. And if it's not, then it's just a parable that's telling you that you should fear God.
Right.
And get in line.
Yeah.
And that's all it's saying, really.
Listen, Walter.
Yeah.
You're not an
animal. I know. I know. The talking snake in the tree isn't really a talking snake in the tree.
What?
Yeah, it's actually just telling you
Was he speaking Parseltongue like in Harry Potter?
Stop talking about fucking Harry Potter all the time.
But it was a snake talking. A talking snake.
The forbidden
snake.
Fruit isn't actual fruit. It's fucking.
It's a vagina?
It's a vagina.
Whoa!
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What the fruit of the loom are you talking about?
Maybe you should have given them clothes. Maybe then they wouldn't be so horny all the time.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I just say everybody fucked. It's fine.
Whatever. Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Get down.
Now, there are various times in the Bible where he smites the wombs of sinners and demands that his followers kill children of the parents who don't follow his law.
Oh, well, yeah.
Granted, the parents aren't following the law, so kill the children.
Right? I mean, he did it to his own kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why not?
But the real question, Brian, here's the big one.
Please.
The real question that I have, the one that really beckons is, who is today's sponsor for this episode of M3 with E5? Well, that, my friends, is none other than Oh Boy Shoes.
Oh Boy Shoes.
My name is Tony Cafasso, and I am serving a life sentence in the Sing Sing Correctional Facility.
Tony is a convicted felon.
That's right. I killed the whole fucking family, the husband, the wife, the kids. I murdered the fucking dog. I don't give a shit about man's best friend, but you know what I don't give a fuck about? Quality footwear.
Tony loves to wear his Oh Boy shoes.
Oh Boy's patented Velcro technology affords me a feeling of independence and security. I don't have to worry about some goddamn jabroni trying to strangle my ass with a goddamn shoelace. You can't do that with Velcro.
Oh Boy shoes. No muss, no fuss. Easy on, easy off.
When I am in solitary confinement for rapey inappropriate behavior, I'm serving time with my Oh Boys.
No muss, no fuss. A simple shoe for a simple life. Oh Boy!
so fucking stupid. All right.
And we're back.
What is the just... Now, seriously.
Yeah.
What is the justification or the defense of these fatal atrocities committed by God, who cannot commit sin, yet does the very thing that Christians consider sin? Well, I unfortunately read some Christian websites regarding God and his propensity to kill children.
Yeah, you're getting slowly indoctrinated.
Babies and the unborn.
Yes.
And of all that I've read, there were numerous excuses. But in all the websites, there were two in particular that kept popping up. So here are the two most common justifications for God to
fun
kill kids.
Reason one, fuck them.
That's not the reason.
Yeah.
Number one, God is just, meaning he will not punish beyond what the crime is worth. Essentially, you do the crime, you do the appropriate amount of time. No more, no less. So if God happens to kill some kids, they deserved it. They did something to deserve it.
Had it coming.
Yeah.
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 Really, Christianity and this whole mindset kind of just like falls apart once you think of like... Well, I mean, once you throw Hitler into the mix, you're like, well, that's fucked.
Yeah.
And then two, when you're like, babies with cancer?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I know.
Yeah. Just falls apart. And then, if someone is a huge, like, real fucking believer of this shit, they got to be like...
Don't say it.
Damn. Come yeah. And then you look like and the then, asshole. Yeah, right. Yeah, and then you're exactly. like, you sure? You want to take that stance?
Yeah, I know.
It's, that my no. child... deserved cancer?
Yeah. Now we're going to get into the second one, which will kind of falls into this.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
God is the creator. He created life. Therefore, he can destroy it.
Sure.
Meaning, your life is not your own. You are his property that can be put down however and whenever he sees fit.
Borrow time.
If he thinks it's time to kill a child, even an unborn child in the womb, he can do it. And you, simple mortal, who the fuck are you to even ask why? You cannot understand God's purpose or his... And here we go. This is the one that really fucking pisses me off.
Please.
There's a second part to the second answer. It falls into the, well, God has a plan and he works in mysterious ways.
Oh, sure.
You know what? I don't give a fuck. That is not an answer.
It's not.
That is a form of deflection meant to avoid accountability regarding unpleasant topics.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about why God will kill an unborn child, so you simply say,
you know, I don't want this to come off as me being preachy or anything or trying to get someone to sway to my side over here. Because, frankly, I don't give a fuck. But, in my belief system, there is no God.
Yeah.
So, when a kid dies, a kid dies.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of questions of why me and why did this happen. But also, the answers to those are, it just happens.
Yeah.
The world is cruel and it doesn't care about you. And you gotta kind of, like, deal with that whole situation.
The Touring Columbian and
I
used to have these conversations. And I had this thing that I like to call, I may have mentioned it last year, and it's called indiscriminate karma.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there are plenty of good people who deserve good things and never get it.
Yeah.
And they get shit on. And then there are plenty of bad people who deserve awfulness.
Sure.
And they get great things.
I kind of look at that not even, I don't even really believe in the karma thing.
I know, I don't either, but it's just
I think of it more as just like people are complete opportunists. Some people can see the opportunity. Some people don't see the opportunity because they're not used to seeing it. And genuinely, mostly the bad people.
The baddies?
Will take advantage of an opportunity, whether it's for them or not.
Yeah.
That's usually what that is.
Yeah. In summation, God loves you, but he's also going to kill you, born or unborn, as either a form of punishment or to achieve a personal goal for himself.
Sure.
Which is kind of weird if you think about it, since
since he doesn't need anything.
And also, since the unborn can't really do anything wrong, so why punish them?
Fuck them?
Abortion, it's a sin.
Yeah.
God is perfect, cannot commit sin, yet he can perform an act of abortion.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Whatever. And of those children who are killed or have been killed by God...
This one goes out to you, babies. Yeah.
many Christians believe that that's fine. Those kids are going to go to heaven since they view children as inherently innocent. But that contradicts part of the first summation.
Well, they become angels.
Humans do not become angels
Well, I mean, those aren't real anyway. Yeah.
But but that belief that these kids automatically go to heaven, that contradicts part of the first summation that deaths are a form of punishment.
Yeah.
So also, there is a Bible verse that clearly states, and I mentioned it last year, that we are all born sinners immediately from the get-go. As soon as you're born, you are a sinner and you have to get right with God. So, if kids are... where are we going with this, Christians? I don't know. As mentioned, God's word is perfect and you can't argue against it, so I guess the innocent kids aren't really innocent? I don't know, man. I don't know. It's all a discombobulated mess of contradictions.
Yeah. Well, if you're born Jewish, though, you're one of the chosen people.
It's true. Yeah.
You're good to go, baby.
L'chaim.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you. Yeah. The one thing that became painfully obvious in reading about the killing and sacrifice of children is that the relationship depicted between man and God, woman and God, or human and God, whatever you want to say, is really quite abusive. Now, I can illustrate this through a very simple exercise that anyone can do at home.
Okay.
I call it the little mama.
Okay. All right. Don't know where this is going.
In the cartoon series Home Movies, there is a minor recurring character named Clarice, who always talks about her boyfriend. She says things like, "My boyfriend calls me little mama. My girlfriend and I were born on the same exact day."
Okay.
So in this exercise, all you have to do is declare statements about God, true biblical statements about God, in the voice of Clarice.
Okay.
And since a belief in God is often called a relationship, you just swap out the term God with the term boyfriend.
Oh.
All right? And when you say these declarations out loud in the voice of Clarice, it doesn't really sound like a fulfilling relationship. Matter of fact, all of these statements that I'm going to say are considered red flags in regards to relationships that are abusive. So let's run.
But green flags for God.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right.
So let's run through a few of these.
Throw me some.
"My boyfriend says that no one will ever love me as much as he does. My boyfriend says that only he can be the most important thing in my life, and my family is secondary. My boyfriend says that he's the one who decides when I live and when I die."
Jai, yeah.
My boyfriend.
Fuck off. Laughing now. I've lost it.
My boyfriend says that I need to prove my love for him by killing my cat.
What?
My boyfriend says that slavery is wrong and we need to kill some children.
Oh, okay. You had me at the beginning and you lost me at the end.
My boyfriend says that we need to teach my little brother a lesson by caving his head in with a rock.
And finally.
Yeah.
My boyfriend says he wants me to come to his party. But he can't let me into his house unless I devote my life to his dead son that he killed himself.
Yeah.
But now I'm pretty sure you get the picture.
That's a killer party, man.
The little mama test.
Yeah.
It's a great way to see just how potentially abusive or manipulative a prospective relationship can be.
On the flip side, as far as, sounding like a doofus.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that voice. You could just replace God with
my boyfriend at any time. You gotta do the voice.
You could do a Barb Novak voice wanted to. You could be like, oh my God. He loves me so much. He's my boyfriend.
Hey, my boyfriend likes to cook me a nice bowl of master choli, but
Only if I kill my cat, he's going to give it to me, you know? Yeah. It's not... Yeah. No, none of it's good.
No, none of it's good.
That being said, we have come to the end of this episode.
Wow.
And before we sign off on this annual April episode focusing on religion, I wanted to clarify why I picked this topic. I'm not opposed to Christianity or any religion for that matter. I am opposed, and I'm pretty sure I speak for you as well on this one, hopefully. I am opposed to people who intentionally hurt or deny others the ability to practice their personal beliefs, especially when religion is used as a form of manipulation and control disguised as love. I think it's important to discuss and bring about attention to these contradictions and problems that exist not just in Christianity, but in all religions. They all have the same fucking problems. But in discussing and bringing about
even
attention...
Even atheism.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, every belief system has problems.
There's an atheist megachurch now.
Really?
Think about that. What the fuck is that?
Where's that at?
What the fuck is that?
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
It does kind of defeat the purpose. You just go to a big building, some people sing some songs that have no religious denomination, and then you go home, I guess.
Do you get to pick what songs you sing?
No! Some asshole up on a stage does it. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's stupid. That is someone just trying to get a cash grab and take advantage of people.
Oh, do they do
offerings? Probably. Yeah,
oh,
probably.
Fuck off.
Right,
yeah,
probably.
That's somebody taking...
How the fuck else would you pay for that building?
Is it tax-free at that point?
I don't know. It's really weird.
That's stupid.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah. But in discussing and bringing about attention to all of these unfortunate and disturbing aspects of religion, hopefully one can have a better understanding of what they believe and why they believe it, or rather, what they don't believe. And in doing so, hopefully they can become a better person in the process.
I mean, I think, you know, we just watched True Dick season 4.
Yeah.
I think really what it boils down to is ask questions.
Yes.
That's all life should be. Ask questions.
I mentioned this last year in the April episode. I'll mention it again this year. I went to church for a long time. I was really big. I was a Christian.
You were a big fan.
I was.
Love the guy.
I studied the Bible, but one of the youth pastors gave me one of the greatest lessons ever. A youth pastor who is a Christian. And he said, don't believe something because somebody tells you to. Ask.
Yeah.
Why should I believe this?
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of Christians who are like, that's a little too much, but no.
Well, also, like, don't get into that slippery slope nowadays of do your own research, but, like, fucking read things.
Yes, exactly.
Ask questions.
Yeah.
Get second opinions on things.
Yeah. I mean,
I know. If it doesn't line up, you should probably be asking more questions.
I really wish we can get a Christian to come on to the show.
Yeah,
but
it's a shame we don't know any.
I do.
Well, you do.
I do, but I don't.
Good God, I don't.
I don't. I don't know if they can handle you and I being as vulgar, because I'm
sure.
Not going to tone it down.
No, this is my house.
It's my house.
Yeah.
Your house.
Nah.
And I don't. Yeah, I don't.
We talk about O-boys all the time.
Yeah.
Not stopping now.
No.
I'm not stopping ever.
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
We should thank Oh Boys.
Yeah, I do. I do want to thank Oh Boys, new sponsor for the show. Excellent footwear. Easy on, easy off. Simple shoes for simple lives.
It's not where I thought you were going to go with that. Yes. Ooh, something we also don't really ever do on here. We should you should give a shout out thanks to the theme song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I saw you do credit it in print, in text on the
show description.
On the show description. But yeah, if you've ever are curious about the theme song of the show, the opening and closing song, that is an awesome band out on the East Coast out of New York called 71 Super Creep.
Mostly instrumental, right?
It's mostly instrumental. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like surf. It's like horror-themed surf rock.
Yeah.
Awesome guys. I've never met them, but I have talked to them via the magic of the internet. They're just huge horror nerds. And when they play shows, because they do play out, they like to wear monster masks.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Cool. It's cool.
Yeah, you can find their stuff on Spotify.
Yeah.
So,
and I believe they're on Instagram as well, so... Yeah. Yes, yeah. 71 Super Creep. Check them out.
You got any plugs going?
I don't.
You just did a sale yesterday, right?
I did a sale. Yeah, I did a ready-made sale of Glitter Dooms and Glitter Darksides. So the Dooms are sold out. I have a few Darksides left. If anybody's listening to this and wants a Glitter Darkside, get up on there.
Yeah.
Hop up. Place that order. Get it out.
I don't.
Hop up on that internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I got nothing else going on.
All right.
What about you?
I got show in May next month.
Which show?
World Oddities Expo.
Whoa.
Raleigh.
Oh, cool.
North Carolina.
That's a trip.
Yeah, I got to get the van worked on before I go.
Okay.
Before I go out there.
Well.
So if you're in North Carolina, look at that thing.
Check out this guy, North Carolina.
Yeah, sure.
Check out Brian Aerosol Pro.
Yeah.
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 Artist extraordinaire.
Something like that.
Co-host of M3D5.
I make things.
Host of his own show, The Electric Monster Podcast.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was a little BJ Sunfire for you.
That was. Yeah, yeah. I heard it.
BJ Sunfire. Yeah. That's something that can never come back, sadly. But I want to thank the listeners. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you learned something.
I learned a lot of things.
Did
I learned
you?
About your boyfriend. I learned about Oh Boys.
I learned about... Also, I'm very proud of the Little Mama Test. That is something that I hope everybody does at home for themselves.
Yeah.
You know? It's good. The Little Mama. Just remember Clarice and the Little Mama.
Just give it a try.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to thank everybody. Thank you for listening to M3 with E5. I'll be back. We'll be back next month with a fun episode that won't be so seriously depressing the deaths of children.
We'll see. Yeah. We can't make promises.
No, we can't. But it'll be something. But
yeah.
With that being said, thank you, everybody. Tschüss, auf Wiedersehen und bis später.
Wow, so many dead babies.
My little brother, he's dead. We bash him in the head with a rock.